the BBC presents Guilty Party. A problem in crime detection in which you're invited to match your wits with a panel of experts, John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian. First of all, you will hear the crime play, The Rembrandt Touch. The panel will then decide on a line of investigation and cross-examine the suspects, who give unscripted answers to their questions. But first of all, here is Joe McCready, private investigator.
Here are the facts in the case of the Rembrandt line drawing owned by Lady Poldera of that stately but now slightly decaying home, Poldera Hall. Here, the widow of old Sir Raphael Poldera lives with her stepson, Sean, and among other staff, her butler, Porteous. And here, on three afternoons a week, the peasants are privileged to walk round the spacious bedrooms and living rooms and are allowed to look at the famous Rembrandt line drawing, which is the pièce de résistance of the afternoon dropping. Well, it was for myself and Inspector Galloway. We, too, were getting our money's worth.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I draw your attention to the picture on the wall there. It is a sketch executed by that incomparable master, Rembrandt. Lady Poldera, only a week ago, turned down an offer of £25,000 for this very drawing. And now, if you will step this way, ladies and gentlemen,
you know, Inspector, it's quite something to be looking at a picture which was actually drawn by Rembrandt himself.
It is indeed, Joe. Whether it's £25,000 worth of something is another matter.
Well, whether indeed it is quite something, or whether Rembrandt himself ever came within miles of this drawing is also another matter.
I'm sorry.
I beg your pardon. I overheard your comments and was amused by them. My name is Farr, Professor Eustace Farr. I am curator of the town's art collection.
Oh, glad to know you. What exactly did you mean about the Rembrandt?
Well, I think it's very naughty of dear old Rosie Poldera and her Irish stepson to try and pass off an inferior copy on an innocent public.
You mean this isn't a Rembrandt?
Well, I know the Poldera Rembrandt better than I know my own hand. I've spent years admiring it. And this, I would say, is certainly not it.
Suppose it is a copy, a forgery, and the real thing's disappeared. Then surely Lady Poldera and her stepson may not be aware of it.
I've been trying to think that unlikely. But if you think she should be told my opinion, then well, I'd be happy to inform her right now. I know her very well.
It so happens that I'm a police officer from Scotland Yard, and my friend McCready here is a private detective. And as I also know Lady Poldera, I think it might be a good thing if we were in on your discussion with her. Would you mind?
Oh, heavens above, not in the least, not in the least. Please do accompany me. I hope I'm wrong, but I really feel practically certain that I'm right. Practically.
Absolutely outrageous nonsense. Damn it, Professor, you'll be suggesting next we've actually sold the Rembrandt to America. Eh, Sean?
Well, I warned you all along the line, Rosie. The picture was asking to be stolen. We should have taken the money and enjoyed it.
But look at it. It is the Rembrandt. Damn it, Professor, we've seen it times enough to know it. Here it is in front of you now. This is the Rembrandt. What you're talking about, spreading alarm and despondency, must have a touch of a sun.
But if Professor Parr is an expert,
look,
then
I've my car outside. You know who lives only 5 miles away?
Sir George Kirkland.
Precisely. And he surely is one of the greatest experts in Britain on the Rembrandt period. I suggest we now drive to his home and get his opinion.
But it's impossible to steal the Rembrandt. We take the utmost precaution.
Yes, but Rosie, you do get some fly characters coming round these stately homes, you know. They'd steal the whites of your eyes and you'd hardly notice it at all.
Oh, come along then. All the visitors have gone. Let's be on our way. I'd like you and your friend to come along, Inspector, just in case.
The only two pleased. Do we need two cars?
No. My car will take 5 comfortably, and I have some rugs in the boot to protect the picture. I'll drive carefully.
Well, there's one thing, Professor. If anybody knows how to transport works of art, it must be yourself.
Yes.
But you know, if you are right, I can tell you this. Somebody's going to get a mighty red neck. And it must be either Rosie, or me, or Porteous the butler. Because nobody else has access to the thing, and that's the truth.
So we traveled in Parr's handsome limousine from one stately home to another. The professor packed the drawing away carefully in the boot as though it was a fragile piece of Dresden china. And on arrival at the home of Sir George Kirkland, he carried it into the expert's drawing room, and we all waited with bated breath while he examined it.
What's your theory, then, Professor?
Well, I, of course, am not in the same class as you, Sir George, but to me, that looks like a copy of a Rembrandt, not a true Rembrandt.
Why?
Well, it hasn't got what Porteous referred to as the Rembrandt touch. It looks to me as though someone's made a frame that is an exact replica of the frame around the real Rembrandt, put a copy of the drawing in the replica frame, and made a switch somehow.
Impossible. Downright impossible, I'd say, eh, Shaw?
Well, I do know that old Porteous is, by way of being an expert carpenter and cabinet maker, it's his hobby.
Surely the main thing right now is to get Sir George's opinion.
Hear, hear. Until we know for sure, there's no point in surmising how and who and when.
Well, Sir George?
Powell's quite right, of course. This is not a drawing by Rembrandt.
What?
It's a drawing of a drawing by Rembrandt. It's a copy. A fake.
Ridiculous nonsense.
I'm sorry, Lozelga, but somebody's taken you for a ride, I'm afraid.
But that means Sean's right. One of us must have done the switch.
Goodness knows I'm the last person to have wanted to bring you a shock like this, Rosie.
Oh, but, to think we could have been richer by £25,000. Makes a man's heart bleed.
It is insured, I suppose.
Yes, but only for 15,000. Anyway, that's not the point. Somebody's stolen it. And the Lord Harry, I intend to find out who. Thank you, Sir George.
Not at all, not at all.
Come on, Professor. We'll go back and Inspector Galloway here can do a bit of third degree. But I still say it's impossible. Absolutely.
Now then, Porteous. Lady Poldera tells us you've been a devoted servant to the Poldera family for a long time.
A quarter of a century, sir. I served Sir Raphael and his first wife, Esmeralda. I watched young Sean grow up. I was here when Sir Raphael decided, after his first wife died, to engage in matrimony with the present Lady Poldera.
You mention her name rather disapproving.
Lady Rosie, gentlemen, if I may speak in confidence, is a good sort in every way, but she could never be our Lady Esmeralda, if you follow me.
We follow you. Now, tell us about the safety precautions for the Rembrandt.
Well, they were simple, but effective. The picture was locked into the safe every evening after the visitors had left. Either Mr. Sean or her ladyship was always in attendance when the safe was opened just prior to the arrival of his...
You mean it wasn't hung up on the wall when there were no visitors?
Precisely. Unless the safe was opened properly and first time with the correct combination, alarm bells were set off. And similarly, when the picture frame was hung upon the wall, there was a special safety device which would give the alarm immediately anyone tried to remove it.
Yes, we heard that when Lady Poldera took down the picture. Very efficient.
Do you happen to be a carpenter and cabinet maker in your spare time, Mr. Porteous?
Yes. Would that be in any way significant?
Well, if a switch was made, someone made an exact replica of the frame.
Oh, did they, sir?
Must have done, mustn't they?
Well, not necessarily, surely, sir. Anyone, if they had a copy of the drawing, could open the frame and substitute the one for the other.
Is that what happened?
I wouldn't know, sir. I only put it forward as a hypothesis. But it destroys the necessity for an expert picture frame maker like myself. If you'll see what I mean, sir.
You have a point there, I agree. Now, has there been any change in the normal routine lately? Because, after all, the picture could have been stolen any day, couldn't it?
A week ago, Professor Parr and Lady Poldera and Mr. Sean did fetch it from the safe and examine it in connection with an offer received from an American gentleman.
Have you any idea how the offer was received?
With complete disinterest by her ladyship, with great eagerness to accept by Mr. Sean, and with some disapproval by Professor Parr.
And how did you react to the offer?
Hardly my place to react, sir. But I must say, I saw Mr. Sean's point of view. The money would have come in very useful.
On that occasion, the picture they examined was the genuine article, would you say?
Most certainly, sir. Professor Parr brought along with him the American's agent in this country, and he, too, was an expert.
Thank you, Porteous. You live on the premises, of course.
Yes, sir.
Where do you go on your afternoon or evening out?
I don't, sir. I have a shed in the grounds where I do my carpentry. I haven't left the grounds for a matter of some 6 weeks, sir.
Thank you again. Now, let's talk to Mr. Sean, Joe.
Okay, I'll bring him in.
You know, Inspector, I've been over and over it in my mind, and it just doesn't make sense at all.
How do you get along with Lady Poldera?
With Rosie? I think the world of her. She's a great character. But she was a damn fool to miss the chance of that American offer.
It was definitely the genuine Rembrandt you examined then.
It was indeed. And remember this, I'm something of an artist myself. I've sold pictures, you know. Hereditary talent on my mother's side. It was she who persuaded my father to buy the Rembrandt in the first place.
Well, in that case, you should really have noticed that the fake had been substituted at some time.
Well, it looks all right to me, but if the professor and Sir George Kirkland say it's a fake, then I pass. They know.
I hate to ask this, but what's the general financial situation?
It's pretty diabolical. Oh, we exist, you know, but, well, we can't live in the manner to which we're accustomed. It's a case of, putting a fiver on a horse instead of a monkey.
Do you know where the alarm switches are for the safe and the fitting on the wall?
Naturally, but when they're switched on and off, there's always two of us in attendance.
Why? Don't you trust each other?
No, it's not that at all, but, well, there's some special clause in the insurance policy, you see. We have to take every precaution. That's one of them.
Suppose some visitor managed to steal the picture from the wall. Would they be able to get outside with it?
I would say certainly not. You see, when they come in, they're asked to leave handbags, Macintoshes, umbrellas, and such like in the lobby. And before they leave, they're given a good look over by Porteous or Rosie or myself. They'd never get away with a framed picture, and even the actual parchment drawing itself, they couldn't nip out with that unless they folded it small. And, well, that would ruin it, I'd say.
Thank you, Mr. Poldare. Do you get out and about the countryside very much?
Well, I haven't lately, but I'm off to Ireland in a couple of days' time. Fortnight's holiday.
Lady Poldare going with you?
Rosie? Oh, certainly not. I'm afraid our tastes when on holiday would hardly be similar, I'm thinking.
Probably not. Well, thanks very much for your help, Mr. Poldare. Now, Joe, we'd better see the lady of the house herself.
Right you are, Inspector.
Now, Lady Poldare, the more we go into this, the more difficult it seems for anyone to have pulled off this job.
Just the very thing I said myself. Impossibility.
But suppose, for example, that you came down in the middle of the night with the express intention of stealing the drawing.
What? Stealing it for myself?
Well, there is £15,000 worth of insurance involved, you know.
What, when I could have sold it for $25,000?
You might still do that if you did steal it. Make a secret private sale and thus clear $40,000 altogether.
Now, why didn't I think of that? Are you two boys sure you're on the right side of the law, after all?
Well, anybody might think of that. But to come back to Mr. McCready's question. Could you have disconnected the safe alarm bell, made the switch, then connected it again after you closed the safe once more and set the combination?
Well, I could. Yes, I suppose so.
Could Porteous have done that?
Not very well. He didn't know the combination. Only Sean and I knew that. Which is why one of us had to be there to open and close the safe as well as Porteous.
Do you trust Professor Parr?
Trust the professor? Why, naturally. He's handled quite a few sales of paintings and objets d'art from this place over the years, and always got us top prices, yet never taken a penny commission. That's to save the thousands one way or another.
Are you contemplating a holiday, Lady Poldare? We note that your stepson is off to Ireland.
Oh, I'm not much of a one for holidays. I shall pop up to London or maybe Paris and go round the art dealers and antique trade people. I love that. You may not think it, but I'm quite an authority, you know, on things of beauty. Ask any of the art people in London. I know Muggins.
All the more surprising that you didn't notice somebody had substituted a forgery for the Rembrandt.
Just shows how good these fakers are these days. I'd never have known.
Mind you, a line drawing is easier to copy than, say, a complicated painting.
Oh, I agree. But how does anybody get the opportunity to make a really good copy? You can't do it in a half-crown walk around the house, you know.
No, you'd pretty well have to be living on the premises, wouldn't you?
Which was what I said when we were over to George Curtin, didn't I?
You did indeed. Thank you, Lady Poldare. Oh, Joe. There it is. What do you think about it? Got any ideas?
Our three experts have heard the facts in the crime play, The Rembrandt Touch. Now they have the right to ask questions of the people concerned. The completely unrehearsed questions will be answered without any script or help by the persons interrogated, and they must tell the truth, except in the case of the guilty party, who can and will try to get out of difficulty if he or she is able to. Over now to John Arlott.
First of all, we'd like to speak to the expert and just make sure, since so many people have made a mistake about this, that it is in fact a fake. Sir George, please sit down. It's very kind of you to come. Now, tell me, why are you satisfied that this is a fake or a copy?
To an expert, it's fairly clear that, for one thing, the tone of the paper, before it even considered the actual drawing.
Could it have been photo reproduced?
Oh, definitely not now.
Would it require a considerable artist to copy it even at this level as a drawing?
I would say an adept, possibly, rather than a considerable artist. Someone who was possibly making a line of this sort.
Is this a well-known drawing of Rembrandt?
Very well-known indeed, yes.
In other words, it's available in most of the books on Rembrandt in reproduction form?
Indeed, it even figures in my own small work.
Thank you very much, Sir George. Now you can go abroad again.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that enormously.
Professor Parr, if you'd come in. Bob.
Well, Professor Parr, look, I believe you examined this Rembrandt drawing at close quarters with the agent of a possible American purchaser.
Yes, that is so, yes.
Are you certain that it was genuine then?
Oh, there is no doubt about it then.
No doubt at all.
And neither in his mind was it.
Was it very obvious to you?
No, but there was something about it.
Was it good imitation?
It was very good.
Done by
an expert, definitely. It was a very good imitation.
Well, now, this was so obvious to you, Professor. Shouldn't it have been obvious to Lady Poldera or Sean or the butler? I mean, they've been looking at the original for years.
I thought so, you know. I mean, they've been living with it for a considerable number of years, and I would. It immediately struck me that there was something wrong with it, and I went over to examine it.
Yes. And what did strike you as being wrong with it?
Well, it's rather indescribable. I mean, it's a thing that comes to you with years of experience. You can tell whether the thing is a fake or not.
And the people who had been looking at it, they are not experts, you mean?
But they lived with it, you know. I mean, after all, it should have registered.
Now, what made you come and look at the picture on this particular day when the officers happened to be there?
Well, as a matter of fact, I had a drink with the good lady of the house earlier on, where I occasionally call her, you know, and I went, for one thing, I wanted to see whether she had made up her mind differently about this offer from America, and it was an open day, and I thought I would join in with it.
Give yourself pleasure by looking at it.
Yes, indeed.
Who brought this prospective American buyer along to her or to see the picture?
Well, I believe he wasn't a prospective buyer. He was just an agent, an American agent in from London. We know where all these pictures are, and someone in America
who introduced him.
Well, I introduced this gentleman from London, yes, to her.
Could the paper on which the drawing was done or the frame in which it was framed be conveniently bought or reproduced today?
Well, the paper, of course, I mean, it's possible that you could have used another picture of the same period, the paper of the same period, and used the reverse side, of course. Or even have cleaned off the original, which was on, but...
Did you look on the reverse side?
Well, no, because the you see, it was framed. You can't see the reverse side with on a picture. It's usually the backing on, you see.
Thank you, Professor. Good enough. Perhaps now we could speak to Lady Poldera. Please sit down, madam.
Thank you.
Lady Poldera, do you happen to know the name and address of this American who wanted to buy the picture, or is he?
Well, I don't know his exact address. His name was Cannell, I think.
How do you account for the fact that Professor Parr's George Curtin spotted this was a forgery when you, who have lived with the picture for years, didn't notice it, really?
Well, you know what it is. When you've got a thing that you know is yours, you don't really look at it again. I was so used to seeing it on the wall. I've got other things as well, you see. My attention simply wasn't drawn to it.
Could you, in fact, have copied that Rembrandt with time later?
Well, with time, I could.
And the paper?
And the paper.
Now, about the frame of this picture, would you say it was a simple frame? Usually it's on drawing.
Well, no, it was a fussy frame.
What sort?
Fidgety frame. It was black and gilded at the corners.
Well, it wouldn't be then the sort of thing you could buy almost anywhere, say, in a second-hand shop.
I don't think you might. You might. You're not too big as that.
Well, how big was this?
Well, it was about 18 by 12, I think.
18 by 12?
Inches or feet?
Inches. It could be carried by one person.
Quite easily.
Oh, yes.
Quite easily. It's quite light, of course.
Yes.
Thank you, Lady Poldera.
You've been very
helpful indeed.
I'm very glad.
Now, perhaps we could speak to Porteous. Please sit down.
Thank you, sir.
The frame this drawing was in, how difficult would it have been to copy?
Well, sir, that largely is a matter of opinion. It was certainly a very complicated flame. It was finished in black lacquer with gilt inlay. It could be done, but it would be a considerable expense today, sir.
How hard would it be to buy one like it from a new frame shop or, say, a second-hand shop?
I would say that's impossible.
How long have you known the combination of the safe?
I do not know the combination of the safe, sir.
You don't?
No.
Have you ever done any photography?
No, sir.
You said the picture could have been taken out and a substitute put in.
Well, yes, sir.
How would that have been done? Isn't it got a backing? Happened at the back?
There is a backing, sir. As far as I recall, I really have paid very little attention. I believe it is sprigged in some way with a number of small nails.
And covered up with paper to prevent dust getting in, no?
No, sir. Not in this particular case.
Mm. Could you have made a frame exactly like this?
Well, given time, sir, I could have made, I tried myself, a very, very reasonable facsimile.
I'm sure you could have done, Porteous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Now, perhaps if we could speak to Mr. Sean Poldera. Bob.
Sean, you're a bit of an artist, I understand.
Well, yes, sir.
I beg your pardon, a good artist.
I wouldn't say a good one.
Now, I want you to be fair to yourself. Could you have copied this drawing? I mean, to copy it.
Isn't well, yes, if I spend a little time on it, yes.
Have you ever tried to?
No, I haven't.
Never?
No.
Have you ever tried to think it's a wonderful thing, £25,000, you could copy it?
No, I like nudes.
Well, you're an artist, aren't you?
Well, of sorts, an amateur.
Have you ever been tempted to imitate a greater art than of your own, you might say, as anything at all?
Well, yes, there's a Russian artist who seems to be quite popular at the moment. He's done some photographs or some paintings of
colored
and Malayan girls, and I thought that I'd like to reproduce something like that.
But you've never tried to copy this one?
No, I have not, indeed.
Do you happen to know the whereabouts of the American who wanted to purchase this picture, or
I think he's in Long Island somewhere.
Would you still like to sell him the original if you could?
Well, yes, £25,000 is a different lot of money.
You'd get some of it.
Well, I rather think so.
Sorry, but there's the signal, which looks a little bit urgent, that the interrogation's over, so you seem to escape further searching, Sean. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Well, shall we go for the original?
Tie it up, John.
Mm. Right, let's have a go, Ted. We think it was Professor Parr.
We do?
We do. We think the drawing was genuine right up to the time that he put it in the back of his car. And we think he rang the changes between the house and Sir George Kirkland's house, having got an imitation frame, a photo reproduction or a copy of the picture made for himself, that he faked the story that he thought this was not genuine, got it into the back of his car, took it to Sir George Kirkland's and took out the ringer, showed it to Sir George Kirkland and kept the genuine one in his own, in the back of his own car, in one of the other rugs, having rung the changes between the rugs on the way.
What motive do you suggest Professor Parr would have for that?
Any money.
Or keeping it in England. But whatever the motive, we think that's the way it happened.
And what made you suspect Professor Parr?
No clue. Well, the fact that he knew that Sir George was there, when the assumption on the part of the others who knew Sir George was that he was abroad. But he happened to have called him up and knew that he was there.
Well, that's a very, very faint sort of clue. But
what chance?
Other people all thought this was genuine, Ted. This is the natural for a ringer because all the other three have equal ability, equal opportunity, and equal motive. This is the one who stands out, and this is the one good chance to change it. And you see, he can make a copy. Now we've established that reproductions of this are available in books. He is the only one with time and relative near ability to make a copy, and then he finds the glorious opportunity of the coppers being there and playing it this way. But the other three can't see that there's any difference.
Well, I did give you two clues, but there was only one method which you hit on straight away, and the method really was the big clue in this case. But he did accentuate the fact that an exact replica of the frame had been used. If it's an exact replica, how does he know it isn't the correct frame? He said it was an exact replica. How does he know?
That's a little too subtle for us, Ted.
And also, he handled it like Dresden china when he put it into the back of his car. And had it been the fake, he wouldn't have handled it like that, would he? Anyway, you're 100% right. This week you win. The two little subtle clues you missed, but 99% this week.
We've got our man.
There's police work. Thank you, guys. There's police work. There was a method. There was a clue this week, and you got it. Well done.
John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian were the panel in The Rembrandt Touch, a problem in crime detection from the BBC series Guilty Party. The play was written by Edward J. Mason and the program produced by Tony Schreier.